Welcome to The West Steps, a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes. To The West Steps, somebody who's never been on the podcast.
Nope. My first time? No.
First time. For our new listeners, can you tell us who you are and what you do at the Children's Campaign?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Riley Kitts, and I do government affairs for the Children's Campaign. So that's probably a fancier way of saying that I am our in-house lobbyist. So I get to go lobby at the state capitol on behalf of kids' issues, which is great.
Which is fantastic. So we talked to you a little bit earlier during the legislative session in the beginning almost. Can you tell us where we are, what's been happening? And then we'll talk about some specific things.
Yeah. So we are, 50 plus days into the session. I think we have 68 days left of 120 day session. So we're about a week or so away from the halfway point, which is amazing because it really has flown by. It's amazing. We've already gotten through 2 months of the legislative session practically. And things have been going well down there for kids' issues. You know, we have had, for the Children's Campaign, 4 of our 5 priority bills introduced. 3 bills having to do with the early childhood workforce. 1 bill having to do with increasing the benefit for those families who receive basic cash assistance on the TANF program. And those have all moved through their first committees, which is great. In one case, one's already had 2 votes done. Now, because those bills cost money, there's money associated with them because we want these programs to be funded. They're now parked in the Appropriations Committee in their respective chamber. So we have 3 bills moving through the House right now. House Bill 6 is the Early Childhood Mental Health Bill. House Bill 1043 is a technical fix for our Early Childhood Educator Tax Credit. And then House Bill 1053 is a Early Childhood Workforce Career Pathways Professional Development type bill. Those all got approved in their first committee, which is great. They had good hearings. We had people who came and testified who were providers, who were other advocates. Great hearing. All got passed, but they can't move out of the Appropriations Committee until the budget's done.
And for those who don't know what the Appropriations Committee does.
Yeah, Appropriations Committee appropriates money. They're the money committee. So while we have committees that do with education and health and transportation and agriculture, our bills often go through education or public health. So they pass there. And then if they cost money, according to our legislative rules, they have to go to a committee to actually get that money assigned for that program. There has to be a balanced budget in the state. I think if we wanted to, we could spend hundreds of billions of dollars. But we don't have that. You know, our state operates on about a $34 billion budget. But, you know, it's a finite pie of resources. So all the bills that cost money, whether they are agriculture or transportation or education or prisons or anything that costs money, has to go to the Appropriations Committee and it has to be approved. Now, the big bulk of those that cost a lot of money, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars, can't move until the budget for the next year has been approved by the Joint Budget Committee. Okay. So right now, the Joint Budget Committee is doing that work. They're sitting down and they're hearing from all departments. They're looking at every budget request sent over by the governor. They're weighing requests that other partners like us have that maybe aren't in the governor's budget. They're balancing all those, trying to see what can be funded to write what's called the long bill. Okay. And the long bill is a long bill. It's like thousands of pages long. I have no other reasoning for why it's called the long bill. I think when I first started, I thought it was an acronym, like legislative ongoing needs. G something. But no, it's just a long bill. And so right now they are writing the long bill. And that has to move through both chambers. And once it does go through both chambers and we know how much money the state has to spend, that's when those bills that we have parked in appropriations will start to finally move.
Okay.
So it'll be about another 3 weeks to a month. And so what we've been doing, you know, we haven't just been sitting on our hands, right? We've been down there. It would be nice, even though we don't have any bills up that are ours that we're specifically running up for a vote. We're down there every day having conversations with leadership in both chambers, both the House and Senate, having conversations with key legislators, having conversations with those on the Appropriations and Joint Budget Committees to emphasize the importance of these bills, to emphasize the importance of a strong, qualified early childhood workforce. Mm-hmm. Now, we have one bill we're working on that started in the Senate. It's that basic cash assistance bill I was telling you about to increase that benefit. We were really strategic, I think, in that bill, and it's actually, it has to do all with federal funds. We're basically just trying to release federal funds to go into the pockets of these families.
So no money from that $34
billion. Yeah, no money coming out of like the state general fund. No money coming out of our state's income or sales tax pot of money. But funds that the federal government has given us to distribute. Yep. And we have discretion over those funds to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying, okay, we have federal funds sitting in a reserve, about $91 million for TANF families, temporary assistance for needy families. And so our basic cash assistance bill, Senate Bill 29, taps into federal funds. So because it doesn't mess with the state budget, it has an opportunity to actually move a little quicker.
Okay.
So right now we're in negotiations with leadership and sponsors over there to see if we can get that moving. Mm-hmm. Good thing about that bill, I'm really proud, is, you know, sometimes you identify bills at the beginning of session, what's going to be your hardest bill and what's going to be your easiest bill. And I really thought the basic cash assistance bill was going to be our hardest bill. Mm-hmm. And not to say it's been easy, but we worked really collaboratively with folks that would have issues with it. And we actually got most people to support or neutral.
That's really
so
awesome.
The counties like Colorado County's Incorporated, Denver, Boulder, Adams County, they all now support the bill. And we kind of thought they would have problems throughout. Yeah, yeah, hard time.
That's always really nice to see communities just come together behind like a really awesome solution like this.
Oh, one. Yeah. And like I was really proud of that bill because we had, you know, folks come down to the Capitol who had been on this program or still on this program who had never been to the Capitol before. They walked in, they're like, this is our first time here. We lived here our whole lives. And I was like, wow, like
that
welcome.
Really cool.
Get up there in front of these legislators and
tell them
what you need, right? And they did a great job. Yeah. And that the legislators loved it. Like, you know, we had advocates up there testifying and they did a great job.
That's
but
awesome.
The members love hearing from directly from constituents.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's, you know, in terms of every bill that has some kind of money attached to it is waiting to hear from the long bill. Mm-hmm. When that's completed, we kind of will see movement on these bills.
Yeah, for the most part. Yep.
So, but in the news we've heard for the past however many weeks, conversations around hearings that are going on until 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And conversations that are going on until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. One last night was until midnight.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's happening.
Everything is parked in our groups.
Yeah.
Like what's happening?
Yeah.
A legislator is spending until the wee hours of the night.
Well, as I'm sure listeners can probably relate to, it's not all hunky dory at the Capitol all the time. We have different political parties and different interests, right? And different philosophies. So there's been a few kind of controversial bills that have been moving through the process. One of the ones, kind of a policy area that's been controversial this year has been around immunizations. Mm-hmm. So the Children's Campaign is very pro-immunization. We want to strengthen our immunization requirements throughout the state. We have one of the lowest vaccination rates for kids going into kindergarten, for MMRC, right? It really is. But so we're working on legislation to help strengthen those requirements. Mm-hmm. And that had a marathon hearing and actually just on Thursday this week was debated on the Senate floor for hours and hours and actually was ultimately approved, which is good.
Yeah.
But then there have been bills on the opposite side of that policy that have taken up a lot of airtime, too. So there have been bills to loosen immunization requirements, bills that prohibit employers of certain kinds, like doctors and medical offices, from requiring that their staff are immunized.
Oh, wow.
There's other bills that come through that say, you know, we don't need to have, you know, these vaccinations at all. And right. And so those have taken up a lot of time. Because first off, there's a lot of debate, but because the Capitol is a public building and the public is and should go down to testify, we've had people show up, you know, hundreds at a time to testify on legislation.
Oh, wow.
Right. So the pro-immunization bill, Senate Bill 163, that's being brought by Senators Gonzalez and Priola and then Representative Mullica. There were over 400 people that showed up at the Capitol to testify either in support or opposition of that bill.
Oh, my God.
So when you do that, that's hours and hours and hours of debate. I think that committee got out around 1:30 the next day after starting at about 1:30 the day before. So it just goes and goes. Yeah, 12 hours. It just goes and goes and goes. Last night, there was one of those, 2 nights ago, there was one of those anti-immunization bills that went from about 2 o'clock to about midnight. So,
God.
10 hours.
Do the members get to take a break?
They have breaks sometimes. Like, they get to leave and go to the bathroom and get water and do their bio breaks. And they get, like, meals delivered in. But for the most part, no, they are sitting there listening to everyone come up and testify, ask them their questions, and move on to the next person.
Oh, my God. That sounds like actual nightmare.
Yeah, it could be a long time. You get a little sleepy in there, right, to get up and stretch.
12 hours to sit and listen.
But I think for those members, they take it serious because they are – yeah, it's their job, is what they've been elected to do. But they really take this concept of the Capitol being a public building accessible to everyone, no matter your stature in life, no matter your race, religion, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your political leaning, whether you agree with them or not.
Yeah.
They truly, I do believe, and they believe that you should be able to come down to the Capitol, interact with your elected officials, and have your voice be heard.
And that is such a beautiful thing to see.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, it may feel insane to have hearings for like 12 hours straight, but that just shows that like people are really connected and getting their voices heard
and engaged. And a lot of times you hear, just like with, the two recipients that came down to testify on the basic cash assistance bill, you hear so often, this is my first time ever down here. I lived in Colorado my whole life. They hear this all the time. Never been out of the Capitol. And for me, I'm like, wow, your first time coming to the Capitol is not for a tour. Your first time coming to the Capitol is to engage,
to testify,
fulfill a civic duty that we all have the ability to go. There's been one other bill that I think has been pretty controversial at the Capitol and had a marathon hearing, and that's been around the death penalty.
Okay, and what is those conversations like?
Yeah, so Colorado does have capital punishment in our laws, right? We do have a few people who are on death row right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been an effort that's actually been going on for several years to try to remove that part of our law and to abolish the death penalty in our state.
Mm-hmm.
Children's Campaign has never really weighed in on this, and we won't on this one. But I want people to realize that there are all types of policies down at the Capitol that could take up a lot of time,
mm-hmm.
and that they can bring a lot of passion and fervor and debate down to the Capitol.
Yeah.
So this policy, this bill, it's Senate Bill 100. It had a marathon debate in the Senate, where it eventually passed with bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Monday of this week was its time to be heard on the House floor.
Okay.
And that debate went till 4:30 a.m. the next day. There were filibusters as best you could. People were stalling and testifying on the mic, or not testifying, but legislators were speaking up for hours at a time. There's a couple members who literally just spoke for 2 hours straight, usually against the bill.
Yeah.
It eventually did pass.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it'll be sent to the governor's office and the death penalty will be removed from our state statutes
mm-hmm.
in Colorado. But it is amazing to see how long. I mean, every one of those members stayed there until 4:30 the next morning. And then they didn't exactly start at 9 o'clock like they usually do. They started off a little bit later in the day. But this week, everyone down at the Capitol just looks tired. Right. You talk to members and you're like, how you doing? They're like,
I'm half asleep.
I want to sleep. Yeah, exactly. Like, do you have a pillow?
Yeah.
Do you have coffee?
Yeah.
So it just, I think what I want people to realize is that certain policies, while they not always relate, they can just bleed into each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certain actions that happen at the Capitol have kind of a ripple effect that go on and on, right? Like, members who are tired because of one day, right? It can kind of impact how you interact and the relationships you have and the answers you can get and the conversations that take place. And that'll happen more and more. Like the fact that we're already at, midnight, 1:30, 4:30 a.m. and we're just in the second month of session.
Yeah.
I think that's, people should be prepared for March, April, and then the beginning part of May to have some long days and long nights.
Yeah. So, and I think goes into my next question. I think last year we talked about how, last year was kind of a dream year because there was very few elections, if any, And it was new elected officials, a lot of new elected officials, and who are really kind of excited to get started. Can you talk to us how this year is different?
Yeah, how this year is different. Well, first off, all those freshmen, right? And we had over a third of the legislature was new last year. All those freshmen now have a year underneath their belts. And so, of course, they know how everything works and they're excited to keep on moving. But no, like, I think what we're really seeing is a more sophisticated legislature, right? They are, you know, folks understand how the process works. Mm-hmm. Folks understand how to stakehold. Mm-hmm. People understand for the most part how a bill becomes a law and how the budget process works. For the most part. So you start to see, you know, there's a higher sophistication level of knowledge among the actual elected officials.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that's always interesting is that we are entering an election year, and the second year of every General Assembly is an election year, right? Mm-hmm. Because the House of Representatives, you're only elected for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then the Senate is staggered. So you're on 4 year terms, but they're all staggered in different ways. So there's a lot of people right now who will be running for re-election in November 2020. Mm-hmm. And that impacts the policies that can and cannot be brought forward in that year. So like leadership historically has tried to make election year sessions less controversial so that there aren't members who take bad votes right before an election.
Yeah.
So that like controversial policies aren't being debated in the public sphere right before an election.
Yeah.
So when I started off working in the Capitol like 7-8 years ago, that was the norm. Yeah. We were always told you get everything controversial done the first year, and then the second year should be a little lighter.
Yeah.
And I'm not really seeing that this year, right? Like we just talked about
not get them.
Like we just talked about like 5 or 6 immunization bills and the death penalty. But like we're going to probably see legislation around firearms coming this year. That's controversial.
It's very controversial.
We're going to see legislation coming around liquid nicotine, right? Nicotine around flavor bans, around licensing for tobacco. We're going to see all that. We're going to see legislation hopefully around some sort of paid family leave policy. We'll see legislation around a public health insurance option, you know, stemming from a bill last year. Those are all super controversial. I'm sure people have seen the commercials on TV around the state public option. Like, so the playbook that I was taught when I was kind of up and coming in this industry is not exactly followed all that much anymore. And I think what a lot of these freshman legislators and legislature in whole is saying, listen, we can't just stop working on policy that's uncomfortable because we're in election year.
Yeah, we might get
We might not be here. We might not have a majority. What folks are saying is, no, we've been elected to come down here at the Capitol and do policy change. And it doesn't matter if it's the first year or the second year.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we're working on behalf of the people, and we need to be having hard conversations, even when those conversations are controversial and could impact our elections. And that's great, I think to have elected officials engaged.
That's awesome that they're thinking like as people who are active participants in democracy, and instead of elected officials who kind of first look out for themselves.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that's really exciting. I think this ties back to, you know, I have a couple more questions, but this ties back to how deeply important it is to get involved.
Yeah.
So can you talk to us about how people can track all the million things that are happening at the state capitol?
Yeah. Well, for one, if what you're interested in is, you know, around kids and families issues, I would first off say, you know, be a little biased here. The Children's Campaign is a great resource. And
self-promo.
Right. A little self-promotion, but it's true. I mean, even before I came to work for this organization, if I had questions on bills that had to do with children in general, my first stop was the Children's Campaign because I knew they'd be tracking legislation. I knew they would do a quality analysis. I knew they'd have data behind it. And I knew they would tell me the story for why it was good or why it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So if you're really interested, you know, check out our Capitol updates. Mm-hmm. Watch the weekly videos that we put together at the state Capitol. I try to, you know,
featuring Riley, trying
to look nice for y'all on those videos. You know, but follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Otherwise, I think, you know, some of the best ways to stay on top of what's going on to the Capitol is first off to go to the General Assembly website. Mm-hmm. And that's ledge.colorado.gov.
Yeah.
Okay. And we can put that on, I think, any type of website or whatnot. But you go there and there's easy ways to track legislation where you can see what's been introduced, what's up that day in the calendar. They've redone the website in recent years, so it's much easier to use than it was in the past. You can always go there and check it out. And then I would also, you know, use social media as a way to track what your legislators are doing. Every single legislator most likely has an Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter account, and they post a lot on there.
Yeah.
So go on there and you can often see what those members are doing. Let's say you have your representative, your senator, or someone that you like, go sign up for their newsletter.
Yeah.
They all put out either weekly or monthly newsletters to keep you updated on what's going on, not only at the Capitol, but what's going on in their district and how you can get engaged. I think the last thing is, if you see something that you want to get engaged on and you want to learn more about, try to find out, and we can help you out with this too. Try to find out when it's going to be heard at the Capitol and come and watch the process.
Yeah.
You know, I think it demystifies a lot when people come down and they see these committee rooms packed with individuals all working on so many different issues.
Yeah.
And how there really is a collaborative nature down there. And you can really see how the process works. You can see how a bill becomes a law.
Yeah.
You don't need to watch the Schoolhouse Rock videos or watch from afar. You can come and participate, and you can come let your voice be heard. There are people every day who come down and sign up to speak about legislation that they've learned about and they've researched and that impacts them.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, those legislators want to hear more from those constituents than they want to hear from me, lobbyist.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the best ways to come down.
Yeah. And I think the last thing I'll add is usually these things feel a lot and exhausting. So pick the issues that you're excited about and somebody else is working on them, or we are working on them. And then plug in instead of saying, this seems complicated or hard, I'm not participating. I think choosing the one thing you care about and then plugging in and then learning the process significantly makes all of this better for everyone.
I think, you know, what folks need to realize, or hope we'll realize, is that legislators are working on close to 700, 800 bills right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have a little bit of knowledge, hopefully, in a lot of different areas. But if there's a piece of legislation that impacts you directly, that impacts the industry you work in, impacts your family, you're an expert on that.
Absolutely.
You are an expert. And quite frankly, you're probably more an expert than those legislators are.
Yeah.
And they respect that. And I think they really do know that. And I always tell folks, whenever we're trying to prep anyone to testify in committee, I say, you're going to go in there and you're going to be the smartest person on this topic because it impacts you.
Yep.
And you know how it impacts you. And you can explain that story to legislators. You're the only one that can really explain that. And they take that to heart. And so if the bill looks complicated or is written in really legal language or the process looks confusing, I think that you should all recognize that the legislature wants a human story to it, a human face put to a bill. And there are people like us who can help explain what something does, but that if it really does impact you, you're going to be a really good explainer as well. And so don't look at that gold dome like it's a building that should be foreign to you. I think you should look at it as a building that you own.
Yeah.
That works for you and should work for you to the best of its ability.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Riley.
Thank you, Beza.
We will come back when the long bill drops to talk all about it. And we'll talk to you very soon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. I have one of my colleagues to help me with some ads, previous guests of the West Steps. Steph.
That's me.
Who's our sponsor this week?
Support for this episode is provided by Effect, a Denver-based digital agency that helps campaigns win elections. Effect supports outstanding candidates and initiatives that are focused on winning their election in order to positively transform communities. Learn more at EFFCT.org.
You want to say that last part again? Where can people go?
EFFCT.org.
That's effect.org. Thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. To support our work, please visit coloradokids.org. And I'll see you next week.